We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for John Marks alongside Ike Reese. This is Marks and Reese. We have Jack behind the glass, and we have top five of five coming up in just a minute here. We got a lot of Sixers to get into. Your phone calls. The win last night, more confident, or are you sitting the same as you were? I'm the same. Ike's more confident, and the Phillies tonight taking on the Braves at Citizens Bank Park. But at 5 o'clock, you know what we do here. We do a top five at five.
Well, happy Wednesday to you too. It is time for Top 5 of 5, the most anticipated radio segment on this station.
Oh, boy.
So, today I decided to rank the five most dominant athletes I've seen in my lifetime. Off of Joel Embiid last night, a 40-burger on a torn meniscus, which I still find to be crazy. So, again, this is not like long-term. This is not any of that stuff. This is just strictly most dominant Philly sports athlete.
Okay.
Okay? Number five, I have Allen Iverson.
Okay. Wow. Got AI at five.
Yeah,
five.
You know what? It kind of speaks to how many great athletes Jack thinks he's seen.
It's yeah.
Like AI's five.
Yeah.
Talking about an NBA MVP.
Right. That's why I'm like, okay, he's number five.
All right, AI at number five.
He was dominant, but he was also a chucker. You know, and like it's hard to dominate when you just throw the ball up a lot.
Yeah, AI was before the era of efficiency in the NBA.
Yeah, which nobody cares about.
Well,
nobody cares.
Some
then.
Of us do. Embiid can do both. So, you know, I choose that kind of player.
AI would be ripped today. We know this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, people talk about Russell Westbrook. People talk about AI.
Yeah, of course they would. Number four, I have Terrell Owens. His 04 was the single most dominant. Like, football players, it's hard for a player to dominate, you know, because it's such a team game. But yeah. T.O. took a team that was already Super Bowl bound and turned them into, like, the best team in football. And still, even though the Eagles won in 2017, the 04 Eagles are the best Eagles team I've ever seen.
I agree.
You know, the 14.
I'm shocked you agree, by the way.
14 touchdowns in 14 games.
Yeah.
In that era, like, you know, now you're more likely to get something close to that. It's more passing. Mm-hmm. In 2004, to have 14 touchdowns in 14 games of wide receiver, it's remarkable.
It's rare that you get what was advertised.
Yeah.
And I mean the good and the bad.
Yeah.
We got exactly what we had watched from afar with T.O., which is the greatness of him in the postseason, throughout the season, turmoil with his quarterback and his teams. We got to see it all in the flesh here. And let me tell you. You're talking about – now, Brian Dawkins will always be the number one athlete, teammate that I've had because I played with him for 7 years. But if you're just talking about somebody living up to the hype and what you watch from afar, yeah, he was all that.
And by the way, McNabb that year, 31 touchdowns, yeah. 8 picks. Like, we didn't see McNabb at that level.
Yeah, I mean, all that, yes. He was all that as an athlete, watching and everything else.
Well, and then you throw in getting injured and coming back,
yes.
And doing what he did in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was,
yes.
I mean, just all time. We got the, you're right, we got the full T.O. experience.
Yep.
In a calendar year, which is remarkable. Yeah. Number three, I have Ryan Howard. Ryan Howard at his peak, we're talking 50. I mean, the 06 MVP season, like you rarely, again, like I think Utley's the best player of that run, but Ryan Howard doing what he did was dominance on a baseball field from a hitting side that I just haven't seen since.
We just don't see home run hitters like that.
No.
I mean, that's the fastest ever to 200 home runs. And obviously, you know, it didn't last. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's not going to go to the Hall of Fame. But for that run, there was no greater power. And that was around the time where baseball power started to go down. The steroids were phasing out.
Yep.
And he was the outlier. Everyone was hitting, you know, guys are hitting 20 and 30 again, normal kind of home run. And he's hitting 58.
Yeah. He had a 3-4-year, 5-year run there where, man, I mean, obviously we got to see, and I'm a little older, I got to see the other guys, and it's steroid aided, so it clouds it. Knowing that Ryan's wasn't, and he was here, we got to watch him up close and personal. He is, I feel like, you can make a case, he's the most underrated star that's played here in the last 15, 20 years.
Well, you know what the problem became? We had to watch the decline every day. It's like you watched more of the decline than you watched the greatness.
Yep.
It was he was here for a long time, not that good. It hurts. Yeah. It hurts the perception, but it was amazing.
His greats were great, though.
Man.
Number two most dominant athlete of my lifetime is Joel Embiid. I mean, what he's doing right now. I mean, see what? I mean, see, both sides of the court. 40 burger last night on torn meniscus. I mean, it's just, listen, unbelievable. What?
Listen.
What?
Ike's not ready.
I'm okay with the name being in the on the list if that's what you want to do. I love him also. He hasn't done anything close to dominance that those guys that you have him in front of did. He's doing it now. He's in the midst of it. It's been seven playoff games. Seven.
What's going to get Ike to put him over? A trip to the finals?
Yeah. You give me a trip to the finals, I'm all in. Or give me a 6-7 game series where you look like this against Brooklyn.
Well, the other thing that hurts Embiid a little bit is he doesn't do it for long stretch. Like, he gets hurt, right? Mm-hmm. This is his best year. He didn't win an MVP because he got hurt. That's why Jokic won.
It's the only reason he won. Yeah.
Embiid was better, but he only got, one first place vote?
Yep.
No one really considered him.
No.
But he's a dominant player.
Oh, man, I love him. He should be on the list, but you're going. I know where you're going.
We all know where Jack's going.
Yeah, I know where he's going, number one.
You sure?
Yeah, I
think.
So. I'd be surprised if you didn't go here.
The number one most dominant athlete of my lifetime is Roy Halladay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, okay, good. Roy Halladay was dominant. Listen, came here, we're talking about athletes living up to the hype. I mean, T.O. did,
but
Roy Halladay threw a perfect game and a no-hitter in the postseason. Fortunately, came up short, but most dominant athlete I've seen in my lifetime.
No, he surpasses T.O. when it comes to living up to the hype. I now, the hype surrounding T.O. obviously was different, and that's football. But when you talk about a guy coming here, being as advertised and staying, like, T.O. kind of, he messed his situation up by it only being 20 games. We got to see Doc to the wheels fell off, literally, from where he had to retire.
When someone just comes in there and you're told they're the best in the world at what they do, and they come in and they're better than you think they even are.
And that's where he was.
Yeah. I mean, those 2 years, I don't think we'll ever see any pitcher ever here again pitch like that for 2 seasons. Over 2 years, he was 40-16 with a 2.4 ERA, and he had 17 complete games. We might never see a Philly throw 5 complete games in a season again.
I think he still holds the record for complete games as of right now, like since 2010.
Yeah, and he hasn't pitched since 2013.
Yeah, he has the most.
Oh, he holds the record for the Phillies?
No, like in baseball, he has the most complete games since 2010, and he stopped pitching in 2013.
Oh, wow.
He's going to hold that forever. Like, no one throws
complete games.
Yeah, like he pitched in a different era, even though it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, we went nuts when Wheeler got a complete game a couple weeks ago. Yeah, one.
And Nola gets one. We're like, wow. It's like the old days. Roy Halladay did it every 2 starts.
Yeah, and I admittedly, I only watch most of Roy Halladay pitch prior to being here through highlights.
Well, he never got to pitch in a big game.
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't going to sit around and watch a Toronto Blue Jays game, but you always knew about Doc and what he was doing up there, but man, I didn't know what great pitching historically looked like up close and personal until I watched Doc Halladay pitch.
He was that good.
Yeah, I haven't seen a pitcher live. I've seen pitchers on TV, but I haven't seen a pitcher live pitch anywhere near to the level in which he pitched in those 2 years. And I love Cliff Lee. You're talking about a guy through a freaking no-hitter in his first ever postseason game.
I know. The coolest part of Halliday was, like, you watch Randy Johnson back in the day, Roger Clemens, you could tell why they were so good. They threw, they just blew a pass. That Roy Halliday wasn't that kind of pitcher.
No.
He strike people out, but he didn't throw 99, 100. He just... He was perfect. He threw the ball where he wanted every single time. All right, so Jack has Roy Halliday. I think it's fair.
I don't know.
I'm with you on that, Jack. That's the most dominant Philadelphia athlete in a long time.
Now I would tell you, disrespecting Bubba Chuck a little bit there. Now, he was actually here longer and did it longer. Now, he may not have done it to that level, but he did win an MVP and he did take the team to the NBA Finals.
Did you have him on the list?
Yeah, no, you have him at five, and that's blatantly disrespectful.
But I think Embiid's more of a dominant basketball player than AI is. That's why.
But he hasn't had the type of year. Now, here's the funny thing: as great of a year as Embiid had this year, AI's MVP year was better.
Well, he won an MVP.
Exactly.
Played more minutes.
He's also the MVP at All-Star Game. Like, he had a better year.
Well, that's what, like, you said about the difference between a great player and a great. A great athlete and a great player, right? Mm-hmm. A great talent and a great player. I think Joel is a better player than AI was.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But AI did more. It's just so far, he just did more.
And he didn't have a 7-2 as an advantage. You do realize, I love Joe, but Joe's playing with an advantage. He's bigger than everybody he's playing against. So for me, you get docked for having that type of an advantage. It's more impressive to me when there's a disadvantage and you overcome that.
It's the Shaq thing. Like Shaq.
Yes, exactly. So I love Embiid, and skill-wise, yeah, but what AI did at his size and for a full year with the talent that was around him, JoJo ain't did that yet.
All right, there's
he hasn't done that yet.
Not yet. There's Jack's 505. Of course, this hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door and get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. Chris at Pensahawken on the 6. What's up, Chris?
What's up, boys? I love Jack, man. But like you know, I have season tickets for years and years and years. I watch AI light people up like butter. Just in Philadelphia, just as a Sixer, he averaged 27-6, and he played for 12 seasons straight, 42 minutes a game at 5'10", a buck 60.
Yeah, the minutes thing is probably the most underrated part of AI.
Yes.
He's right behind Holiday at number two. Checkmate, line him up. This ain't checkers. No way.
I think I would. Yeah, I would put AI right behind Doc. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
And look what he did to the city and to the sport.
Yes,
he was a superstar, as big as Michael Jackson. Japan, everywhere they were wearing his jersey.
No, he was a cultural icon.
Yeah, no doubt.
And,
yep.
But the Sixers, I told you, Joe. Stay in your lane. You're a great baseball guy. Go home. Know what? Mike might have a roadie in his car. Get a claw. Drink a claw. Chill out.
He said a
get
roadie.
A little roadie on the way home. Drink a claw, man. We're all good.
Listen, Chris. I'll drink a claw if you want, and
you
I'm happy.
Rub your back or make you a drink or something. You're all tensed up, man.
I mean,
like,
listen,
like
Chris. I'm watching it. They're down in late in the third quarter until Shake Milton goes crazy. Let's not pretend it was a blowout the whole game.
This ain't a football game, man. This is a basketball game. Teams get runs. We'll be just fine. And as long as Doc don't mess this up, he's the dude that I'm nervous from. Like, we give him all these accolades and. The dude last time he won was when? I had hair.
08. 08, yes.
Yeah, three Hall of Famers on the court.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's three Hall of Famers on the court. Me and you could have been the backcourt for him, so I don't know, man.
Well, Rondo was one of them. He's probably as good as me and you are right now back then.
Yeah, so Joe, this is what I need you to do.
Okay.
Because I didn't think Ike was going to do it because he used to laugh at Johnny when he started drinking these claws. Now Ike drinks them every weekend sitting out in his backyard listening to his music, man.
That's true.
He's singing. He's telling his son, yo, you're going inside? When you come back out, grab me a claw.
Grab a claw.
Drink one. I'm telling you, we'll settle you down. You're a good dude. We got this. It's easy pickings.
All right, Chris, I'll go have a claw. We appreciate it. I haven't had a claw in a while.
Now, are you going to have a claw on Saturday or no?
What's Saturday?
Well, when we golf.
Oh, when we golf?
Are you going to be locked in?
Well, it's kind of early to have a clock.
It is. Yeah, well, John,
at 7:30.
Yeah, I mean, Mark sees having him, and he's falling asleep, and he's getting all sunburned.
Somehow Ike's going to get sunburned drinking claws.
No, listen, I can't afford to be anything but clear-minded out there with you Saturday morning.
All right.
And so Kevin Franzen.
No course claws?
No, I can't do anything unless I'm up by several strokes.
So what is this scoff at? Who we got here? We got you got Ike, you got Jack, and Franzen? Anybody?
Yes.
Three.
Yes, just us three.
Yeah,
so
three
who's the favorite here? Do we have
Franzen, I would imagine.
Is he really good or are you guys not good?
No, I think he's really good. I've seen some video. He sends me like videos of his golf swing for no reason.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he just wants to show off how far he can hit the ball.
I think he's trying to just
I think he's trying to get in my head. But yeah,
I think it's working.
And I'm seeing it, I'm like, oh, he's definitely pretty good. But he seems like one of those guys that he drives the ball forever but not a good short game guy.
That's kind of how I am.
Yeah, well,
let me give Franzen a claw, and maybe you take him off his game. Let's talk to Eric.
That's a good point by you, Joe. Yeah, I may have to break out the claws on the back nine.
I think you have to. Eric's in Atlanta. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good, Eric. What are you thinking?
I'm still a little nervous about this series.
What's got you nervous?
And B basically did the same thing that he did in a game that we lost. So it's basically we need the bench to step up and we need Ben to step up. And I don't know how I feel about Ben stepping up because Ben hasn't been consistent with stepping up.
Well, it comes and goes with Ben, right? I mean, there are games where he's a little more aggressive, like game two against the Wizards. There's games like last night where he basically is not playing offense.
Exactly. I think I think Embiid isn't championship player. But I don't think we can – I think we can probably beat the Hawks. And I underestimated how good the Hawks are. But I don't think we can – I definitely don't believe, even if Brooklyn Nets weren't how they are, I don't believe we can win a championship with Ben Simmons being our second best player. I think in the offseason we're going to have to make some moves because, like you guys were saying, if Shake Milton doesn't go on the run that he went on, it's a possibility we're down 0-2. And I don't know if this team is equipped to come back from an 0-2 series.
Yeah. Now, listen, Eric, now it's a fair point. And I think where you're going with it is that you're not necessarily believing in the bench and whether or not they can continue or have somebody step up. You need that third consistent scorer that you can rely on every night.
And it's supposed to be Ben.
It's supposed to be Ben Simmons. Yeah.
Ben or Tobias Harris, because he's getting paid a nice little amount of money too.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and the Hawks' strength to me is their shooting and their bench. The Hawks have a hell of a bench, and I don't know what we're going to do because we had a lead, and the next thing you know, the lead just disappears with that second unit.
Well, yeah, I mean, Eric, when they're hitting threes every time down the court, and we appreciate the phone call. I mean, teams like the Hawks can erase leads. If you give them a little chance, I mean, if they hit five or six threes, you know, in a five-minute span, it's like, oh, wow, we were up 12, and now it's two.
And we ought to know there's no lead to save. They almost came back and won game one. So that's what's great about the NBA and the downside to the NBA, I guess, and three-point shooting and – this era of not playing real defense and pulling up from 30 feet away,
mm-hmm.
is that no lead is safe.
You get back in the game.
Yeah. No lead is safe.
Let's talk to Mark, who's in Cincinnati. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, up, Mark. What are you thinking?
So I got a baseball question and a Sirianni comment, but I just wanted to say, you know, Joel is – he's an assassin, man. He's like the soft assassin. And if he comes up and he puts in a couple of those Trey Young floaters. He all of a sudden brings that out. You know, I'll put him just a couple notches below Wilt, you know, on my list of all time.
Which is pretty amazing. Like to say, when you say that, it just tells you how good of a player we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he is. He just blows me away watching him. So anyway, so my question about baseball is, you know, so baseball is trying to increase the offense. So why do they continue to let the pitchers cheat? You know, they're talking about all these rule changes, move the mound, raise it up, lower it down, you know, use a wiffle ball, whatever. How about you just stop them from cheating and balance out the game? Why can't they do that?
It's a good question.
Yeah, they should
be. I think they're about to try to start that right now.
Well, unfortunately, they let it go on for so long. Like, this is like the problem is that instead of cutting it off when they notice it, that they wait till it gets so bad that they have no choice but to say, "Oh, right. Goodness, we got to change this."
That's a great idea.
Yeah, hey Mark, when they throw what was it, 6 or 7 no hitters in the first month of the year,
might be
season?
A problem. Yeah,
yeah.
When the no hitter is the new complete game.
Yeah, when no hitters are so common, you're like, whatever.
Right.
Get rid of the shift. How about get rid of the Vaseline and pine tar, you know, on the ball?
Yeah,
maybe
you know
that'll
what,
help.
You know what hitters. You know what I think this is, and Mark, we appreciate it. I feel like they're going to make some rule changes, Ike, maybe soon. Maybe shifts are going to be outlawed or changed. I think this is the first step. Like, all right, how much of a difference will this make? And then, like, all right, do we also have to get rid of the shift? Do we also have to change this and that? I think they want to see, does this bring some balance back? And if it does, great. If it doesn't, okay, we might have to change the rules too.
How y'all feel about that?
The
whole getting rid of the shift.
I hate the idea that you can't play a certain defense. Because imagine the NFL, like, you know, you can't play cover 3.
That's what I'm sitting here thinking. Like, yeah, I can only imagine if the league tried to tell a defensive coordinator, well, you can't put a safety over the top of the cornerback to help to double that wide receiver because we want to give them a fair chance. That's 2 versus 1, so we want to give them a fair chance to be able to complete the ball.
I think there's a way to do it where it's you still allow teams to move the defense around, but it's – so the way they're testing in the minors is you have to have both feet on the dirt.
Okay.
So you can move guys around, but they can't be in the outfield, right?
You can't have 5 people in the outfield.
Like when Bryce Harper grounds out to right field.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
The other thing I've heard is maybe 2 infielders on each side. So you can move them anywhere you want on that side. So you could shift them to, like, take away a certain spot. But not like I mean, you see,
can't load up.
Right, 3 on 4 on one side.
Right.
So maybe something like that where it's like you're changing it a little bit, but you still allow the teams to move the players around.
Because I do – the shift is frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating when they don't do anything about it. Like, if the hitter doesn't do anything about it.
Yeah, I know it. And I've heard that argument to put the responsibility on the hitter to be able to hit the ball the other way, punch the ball the other way, bunt it the other way. But this seems like this is more about the fans and getting more offense and getting more
action.
Base runners
action.
And action. That's what this sort of seems like it's more about. They want to get more guys on base as opposed to finding ways to stop guys from getting on base.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, there's you can't have a sport where 5 minutes go by without the ball going into play. It's especially if you want to grow the audience to younger fans.
Especially with this generation, yes.
I mean, they'll check out. They'll be on their phone. They'll be gone. Like, they have to change something, and hopefully what they're doing here, trying to cut down on the pitchers using these illegal substances, will start to work. 215-592-9494. Joe Giglio in for John Marks alongside Ike Reese. Mark's the Reese here. On the other side, we're going to play Stump the Millennial. We're looking for caller 6. Caller number 6 to 215-988-1258. Caller number 6, 215-988-1258 to play for a $50 Boston Market gift card. Get in right now. We'll play on the other side. Stump the Millennial on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.